Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
So, guys, we're debating when will sports come back, how will sports come back, and obviously it's a interesting and probably the most pertinent question that we have right now. The governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo, was on CNN last night, and he discussed sports and sports returning in the conversation that he had with one of our favorite owners here in New York. So let's take a listen. Here's the governor.
I talked to Jeff Wilpon today, the owner of the Mets. Go Queens. Go New York. I said, why can't we talk about a baseball season with nobody in the stands? Why can't you play the game with the players? And look, I think it would be good for the country. I think it would be good for people to have something to watch and do to fight cabin fever. And it's something that I'm going to pursue. Apparently, Major League Baseball would have to make a deal with the players, because if you have no one in the stands, then the numbers are going to change, right? The economics are going to change. But if Major League Baseball and the players could come to an agreement on how to adjust the economics for that reality, I think that would be a good thing. You know, we have to start to move to normalcy, and people have to start to see some hope and light.
I mean, this seems like the biggest no-brainer in the world to me, Rick. Of course. Like, if it means that you have to play in front of no fans and guys have to take some kind of a percentage of a pay cut, that's what has to happen.
Yeah, I think that's easier said than done, though. I mean, you can barely get, you know, players to agree to, you know, being quarantined in five-star hotels. You're going to be able to talk them into taking pay cuts?
Listen. Drastic times call for drastic measures. If you can't play in front of fans, what choice might you might not have any choice but to do that.
I don't disagree with you. When I hear guys like Mike Trout and everyone else talk about, what happens if now all of a sudden we can't, you know, go out to dinner and do, you know, all these different things we like to do. Well, guess what? I mean, that's the reality of where we're at. You being in a five-star hotel, having to order room service, that's the price you're going to have to pay. Like that's where we're at. There are plenty of people that, you know, are forced to be away from their families. My wife had a doctor appointment the other day. Her doctor hasn't seen her kids in a month because she doesn't want to infect them if, God forbid, she was infected with the coronavirus. So, I mean, I just don't know how that conversation would go, to be completely honest. I think it's one thing to ask the players, you know, hey, you know, let's get you in Arizona, Florida, wherever it is, and, you know, we're going to test you whatever it is once a week. And you're going to be, you know, in this hotel for however many months you need to be in the hotel. That's one conversation, which you can't get everyone on board with now. I don't know, you know, if the conversation where, hey, you know, we're going to ask you to be quarantined, and oh, by the way, you're going to have to take a substantial pay cut, is going to be an easy conversation to have.
Not to mention the other hurdle that they've got to get past, which is the logistics of how everything is going to work, where they're going to have these games at, where they're going to house the players. Is there going to be rapid, reliable testing? Like, there's a lot of other moving parts that we got to get to. But I guess the one thing that I'm thinking about, and I guess it's got to be the positive in this, is that it sounds like Governor Cuomo's tone is changing and that there's a lot of momentum nationwide toward reopening the country and thereby bringing back sports. So that's the thing that I'm excited about. It seems like we're getting to the point now where people are trying to figure out the best path forward, but that we will have sports at some point in the future, some point in the near future.
Yeah. I mean, golf comes back, what, June?
June.
Is it June 11th?
Yeah, Fort Worth, Texas. I think the Charles Schwab Invitational.
Yeah, I think you're right. So I mean, we do see that we're pushing forward to having sports. I just think the normal of the sports that we're used to, Rick, will not be the same. It will be, like we've heard many times, a new normal when we start back up with the world of sports.
Yeah, it's going to take time. I mean, it's going to take time, and we'll continue to get more and more information, more and more answers. I mean, you like the fact that between Governor Cuomo, what you've heard coming out of Arizona and Florida, that, you know, the reality of this entire thing is that you're going to need the support, you're going to need the help at, you know, the federal and state level in order to get this thing going again. Because you have, you know, all these different states that have, you know, different opinions of how they want to handle the stuff. I mean, what's being said in California is different than what's being said in Arizona. And what's being said in Arizona is, you know, different than what you're hearing in whatever other state. So, I mean, it's a positive sign, but I still think there are, I mean, quite a few things that need to be figured out before we see sports again.
Another politician was on CNN last night, and that is Eric Garcetti from out in Los Angeles, the mayor of L.A. And let's take a listen to the conversation he had on CNN, which I think we all are at the point where we understand will be the new normal. But here's the conversation.
Nice. Big concerts in L.A. or Major League Baseball or NFL football or basketball, none of that's going to happen until 2021 from your perspective in L.A.?
It would be very difficult to see that. If there's something that happens, of course, and public health officials say green light, but I think people have to think about it this way. It's not a mayor bringing bad news about these things. These have been immensely difficult decisions to make psychologically, but I've always been very clear of mind.
I mean, so L.A. says it. I'm sure New York is going to follow suit, if not be the leader of the pack, and that is, Chris, we're probably not going to be going to games for a very long time.
Which I think everybody would be okay with, Dave. I mean, the fact that you are going to have sports back, that golf is going to be back in June, that the NBA is going to come back, hockey, baseball, etc. I think that right now, that's a win for everybody, even if that means you can't go to the arenas, you can't go to the ballpark or the stadium. I don't think anybody's really fixated on that as much as trying to get back to some normalcy, and we know how important sports is in this country. It's woven into the fabric of our society. So the fact that you're actually going to be able to go home after work and turn on the television and watch your favorite team play, I think that's the win for everybody, and that's what I'm going to choose to focus on.
Yeah, or not go home. You're just home and you walk upstairs from where you were working.
Stay home, yeah.
You just stay home.
People are going to start going back to work, though.
The governor said we have a New York State shutdown through May 15th right now.
Yeah, I know, but the president is talking about releasing his plan to reopen the country at some point today or tomorrow. So, I mean, there is going to be, that push to try to get things back up and running. People are going to start going back to work at some point this summer, Dave.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I think the New York, the LA will probably be at the back end of what other cities get, because I think some places aren't hit as hard as we're being hit with this right now.
Yeah, you got to get to a point. I mean, and you don't want to do it too soon because you don't want to have a setback, but you got to get to a point where that, you know, once you do open up the city, people are going to continue to get COVID-19. Like, people are still going to catch it and get sick. You have to get to a point where you don't have, you know, hospitals and ICUs so overrun that they can't treat have the appropriate treatment for people that do get sick.
Right, right.
Like, that's got to be, like, that has to be one of, I mean, that has to be the number one priority now, is to get to a point where, you know, whoever does get sick can go get treated, as opposed to what we've been dealing with now for the last month, where people can't get tested. You got, I mean, refrigeration trucks pulling up to take care of dead. I mean, it's craziness.
Yeah.
But positive sign we do have, Rico, is that the admissions rate in the hospital, like new cases that they're treating, is starting to go down. Like, people, there are less and less people going into the hospital every single day, which makes me feel like we're getting to the apex of this thing, and that means that once we get there, we'll be able to get to the other side of it. It feels like we're getting closer and closer to that day.
Yeah. We will get to the other side. It's just a determination of when. How quickly does that happen, and how do we come out of this thing?
But here's the thing, though. We will get to the other side. But even if you come up with a vaccine for this, between it mutating, the different strands of it, everything else, look at the flu shot. The flu shot, I mean, you can still get the other strain of the flu. Like, people are still going to get this. But we need to be at a point where it's not costing people their lives because they can't get the right kind of treatment to take care of it.
Right. Right. All right. Mike Trout, I know you want to hear this soundbite. He was on NBC Sports Network, and he's not as optimistic as some others about baseball starting up again.
It'd be difficult, you know, for some guys. You know, people, what are you going to do with family members? My wife is pregnant. What am I going to do when, you know, she goes into labor? Am I going to have to quarantine for 2 weeks after I come back? Because, you know, obviously I can't miss that, you know, birth of our first child. So there's a lot of red flags. There's a lot of questions. Obviously, we would have to agree on it as players. But I think the mentality mentality is we want to get back as soon as we can, but obviously it's got to be realistic. You know, we can't be sitting in our hotel rooms and, you know, just going from the field to the hotel room and not being able to do anything. I think that's just, I think that's pretty crazy.
See, here's the thing when I hear him say that. I very empathetic with first child, want to be there for it to be born, he or she. How do I get back into the biodome of Arizona? I feel like I can relate to that. I understand what that must be like. When he says, what do you expect from us to do to go just from a five-star hotel to the game and back and like that? I don't know if you guys agree, but that kind of frustrates me. I don't know. That's a hard pill for me to swallow there.
Well, I think he's being realistic. Players aren't robots, Dave. I mean, I understand they get paid a lot of money, but I mean, to ask them for weeks on end to just go to a ballpark and play the game and then go back to the hotel and order room service and sit in there, them in the four walls and watch television, that's not going to happen. So, I mean, that's the thing that you have to be careful with when you're trying to develop these plans. It has to be, you know, a pragmatic approach in terms of making sure that this is something that all of the players can adhere to. I just think that they have to be very careful, and if they're going to kind of go down this road and get back to playing games and have players spend weeks away from, or if not months, away from home, I think you have to build in some of those things where you realize, okay, the players might not necessarily stay in the hotel the entire time. And so if they don't, what are you going to be comfortable with them doing? And then how are you going to guard against them being infected and transmitting the virus to other players that are there playing? So I think that any approach that you come up with has got to factor that in.
Well, of course, you're going to have to factor that in. What I don't like about this soundbite is, I mean, he's the best player in baseball. And if he wanted to be and he wanted to do more interviews and more endorsements and everything else, I mean, he'd be the unquestioned face of baseball. If you're going to sit down and do a, you know, do an appearance, at least have, you know, some information, be informed. Of course, they're not going to put you in a spot where, I mean, baseball's not going to start if you're going to have to be quarantined for 2 weeks if you leave and come back. There's going to be testing. So if you do leave to go see the birth of your first child, when you come back, they'll test you. If you're negative, then you'll rejoin the team. And I think what rubs Dave the wrong way rubs me the wrong way. How would going from the hotel to the ballpark back to the hotel be any different than what we're doing now, except for the fact you actually get to go to the ballpark and be with your teammates and play a baseball game?
I think there's a difference between being at your home versus being at a hotel. I think that's different.
Listen, I'll tell you, maybe, in all honesty, maybe in a positive way, where I don't have to worry about going to the grocery store and getting my own groceries and wearing a mask and everything else, where I can just pick up the phone and order room service. No one's saying it's for 4 or 5 months. It could be for 2 months until the country opens up a little bit and you get to go back to where you're from.
I get what you're saying, but you're still going to be away from your family. You're going to be out of your normal surroundings. I think that's an adjustment. And to expect guys to just stay in a hotel room for weeks, if not months, I get what you're saying. He should show a little bit of awareness and realize that there are people that are dealing with bigger problems than that. But nonetheless, that's still an issue that Major League Baseball has to be concerned with, because the reality is that if players are going to be away from home for extended periods of time, it's likely that they're not just going to stay in a hotel room.
It's the reality of it too. But I mean, you also come to the reality too that if baseball doesn't get this thing going and they don't play baseball, there are going to be financial ramifications next year for everybody. Like, there's going to be a trickle down effect. Like, the money you're making now, or what, you know, the concessions that you're going to have to make as players, I mean, is it going to be worth it long term for you and for the game of baseball if you don't want to compromise for a couple months and be away from, you know, your family to do your job?
Oh, you know, I agree with this one. This is an opportunity for baseball to be the hero.
Yeah.
Like, they can be a part of the healing and moving the country out of the grieving process and getting back to a sense of normal. I mean, they can. But it's going to be up to the players and the owners to determine whether or not they're going to be committed to doing that and then working together to get past all the logistical hurdles.
MLBPA Executive Director Tony Clark told Bob Nightingale of the USA Today he is, quote, optimistic that the possibility of playing still does exist in 2020. And that's from this morning. So we hope. But I'll tell you what, What better platform could it be, Rick, for baseball than Uplay? And everyone who's so desperate for sports is basically locked away in their homes and doesn't have a lot of things to do.
No, listen, it's great for baseball. I mean, selfishly for baseball, I mean, it would be exactly what they need. I mean, you're talking about a sport that, you know, has been supplanted by the NFL as America's pastime. You know, you're trying to find ways to speed the game up and make it more interesting. And now all of a sudden you have the opportunity where you come back and play games. I mean, the amount of eyeballs on televisions watching these games would be incredible.
Be great. Would be great.
I would say the same thing for the NHL, who I know, I mean, they're going through every, you know, every possible scenario to try to get their games back. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, the people that don't even watch hockey, that all of a sudden
everyone
turn on
watch
the television.
It. Everyone
and you got playoff,
would watch it.
And you got playoff hockey games? Are you kidding me with that intensity?
Be great. The other night I was excited to turn on a horse event. Now, I didn't keep it on very long because I couldn't tell what was going on. But, I mean, we're desperate for sports. If you gave me playoff hockey or regular season baseball, I think we'd all crispy glued to
it.
But
see, but here's the thing. This is what I don't like, Dave. And this is maybe this is just me, you know, venting over some of my personal experience trying to negotiate CBAs and everything else and having to, you know, pick up the phone and listen to guys and their concerns. And, you know, we can't do this because it affects, like, I can't change my goalie pad because this is what I wear. Well, guess what? It's not about just your goalie pad. It's about everybody's. We're trying to do what's best for everybody. Like, I understand everyone has their own selfish interests. But when you look at where we are as a country, where, I mean, if you want to just look at it at a micro level, where you are as a sport, yeah, it's great. You make $36 million a year. You're the best player in baseball. You're fine. Baseball could take, you know, the rest of your career off and you'd be set for life. This affects so many people that aren't in the same situation as you. Like, if all of a sudden you don't have a season, and, I mean, of course it's the Wilpons that say, well, you know, if we don't play in front of fans, our players are going to have to take, you know, do pay cuts. Of course, it's our team that's the one that says that. But there's so many people that get affected by this. If you have to grin, bear it for a couple months to try to get your sport back on track. So, I mean, when things do clear up and we do get past this, there isn't long-term ramifications on your sport. Then you know what? Collectively, you got to come together and say, you know what? It sucks for everybody right now, but we're willing to do it to try to make this thing work.
Yeah, you would just like to see somebody in such a secure position do something that might be a little bit uncomfortable, but that can make a world of difference for everybody else. That's really what it comes down to. For Mike Trout, who is the face of the sport, to express those types of sentiments, if he went out there and said, you know, we want to be a part of America getting things back going. We want to be that distraction from the reality that most people have been dealing with the last couple of months. If he leads with that, then I think you're getting a different reaction versus what we're talking about right now.
Here's the other thing, too, take into account. And I get it. Like, you have a bunch of young guys. And let's not pretend like these young guys are out on the town. I mean, they're playing video games now. This is what drives me crazy about this pandemic. You can't get kids outside to play stickball or street hockey when there's no pandemic. But now everyone and their mother wants to go out and take walks and ride bikes and play street hockey and everything else. When things are fine and you're not worried about COVID-19, mm-hmm. Everyone's in the house and they're fine with it. They choose to be in the house. But now, God forbid, you get people to stay in the house, you can't do it. It's like, let's not pretend like baseball. Like, let's say it's the NBA, right? Forget baseball for a second. It's the NBA, and they take over Vegas. You don't think that the NBA and Major League Baseball, the NHL, aren't going to have the entirety of the hotel for their teams in the restaurant, in the bar, in that hotel?
I'm sure they would.
So you'll get to, everyone's going to be tested. You'll all be negative. It's not going to be, hey, you know, wear a mask from the arena to your room and then just stay in your room. You're going to have free reign of the hotel.
Yeah, because I imagine the hotel would be safe space that everyone is cleared to go around.
You've officially locked down the hotel. That's your hotel. Now it's like the Olympic Village. Now you get to go hang with your buddies. You can go whatever you want to do. Go have a couple of drinks down at the bar. It's not being locked in your room. Drives me crazy, man. I mean, God, it's. Well, no, you're not talking about being put in an hourly motel.
No,
with a vibrating bed.
No, don't sleep on the vibrating bed.
You're gonna have first class accommodations. Like whatever you need, they'll provide you.
It's gonna be Four Seasons esque hotels. Absolutely.
It's ridiculous.
All right, I can put you in a better mood.
Hot take me, please.
Yeah, I'm gonna hot take you now. I want this. Like an exclaimer, right? Like a disclaimer at the start of this. I do not believe this will happen. This is what I think should happen. Okay? That being said, you each get your five questions. The floor is yours.
I'll go first.
Is this I will tell you also that this is an NFL hot take.
Does this have to do with any of the teams in the top five of this year's NFL draft trading back?
No.
Mm-mm. No, well.
No.
Is it Odell Beckham getting traded to the Minnesota Vikings?
No.
Does this take have to do with the NFL draft?
No.
Wow. I mean, I feel like you teased something with the draft yesterday as far as your hot take is concerned. Now you completely pulled a 180 on it.
Well, I mean.
Does this take have something to do with a team in the NFC?
Yes.
Does this have to do with a team in the NFC drafting a quarterback?
No.
No.
Does it have to do with a quarterback in the NFC currently?
No.
NFC team. Doesn't have to do with trading back. Doesn't have to do with drafting a quarterback.
Nope.
I really have no idea.
No idea.
We got more questions now, don't we?
Yeah, you have more questions. Go ahead.
All right.
I thought it had something to do with the Redskins trading back, but apparently that's obviously not it.
Mm-mm. You wanted it to be that, but you yelled at me not to make it that.
Not to make it that. I wrote that's
remember
correct.
Yesterday, like, I don't want to hear you with these pipe dreams of the Redskins trading back and the Giants winding up with Chase Young. No, it doesn't involve that.
And this has nothing to do with the quarterback.
Mm-mm.
Does it have to do with the coach?
Nope.
Does this have to do with the NFL schedule?
No.
I have no idea. I'm out of questions. I have no idea. I give up. I have no idea.
Just a full white flag, you give up.
Yeah, white flag tied to a stick. I'm up.
All right. I'm going to give you one hint of the team, and then maybe you can have some traction from that. This has to do with the New York Football Giants.
No, of course it does.
Well, I went with the Rangers the other day. You yelled at me
That's
for
true.
That. I mean, you're unhappy with it, whatever my hot take is. You don't even know what the hot take is yet.
No, it doesn't have anything to do with trading back.
Mm-mm.
But it has to do with the Giants.
Does it have to do with the Giants' win total this year?
Nope. It has to do with a very popular player on the Giants.
The Giants should trade Saquon Barkley.
Yes.
That's spicy.
That is spicy.
You're going to get hate tweets for that.
That's fine. You won how many games with him in 2 years? You're going to have to pay him $17 million a year, probably after this season.
Mm-hmm.
Your win total is 5.5 right now. You're nowhere near winning anything. There's no doubt in my mind that he could be better, be better used on a team that's closer to winning. I mean, honestly, right now, if you said you have to bet everything you have, whether you're going to win a Super Bowl with Saquon Barkley as your running back, I'd say probably not. I think it would make sense for the Giants to turn around and trade Saquon Barkley if they could get fair value in return for him.
And that's exactly what I was going to ask you, Dave. What would be fair value in your opinion?
You know, I'm at the point where if I could get, and I know they won't do it, so I know this is a moot conversation.
Sure, yeah.
If I could get a top 20 pick, I think I would really consider doing it.
So what you do is you pick up the phone, you call Tampa and say, hey, listen, we'll give you Nate Solder and Saquon Barkley for the 14th overall pick.
I think they tell you to keep Nate Solder.
If I could get him at 14. If I could get
him and tell our friends.
Yeah. Yeah. If I could get 14 for Barkley, I would do it.
Wow.
You think I'm crazy or you think it's a hot take?
No, I think it's a hot take. I actually think it's diabolical in a brilliant way. I mean, we know it will never happen because a part of why Dave Gettleman still has the job is that he drafted Saquon and he's been such a productive player. But I just, you know, Dave, it makes a lot of sense. You're not going to get the return on investment if you pay Saquon $17 million a year on a contract extension. So it makes sense to get something for that where you can continue to build around Daniel Jones.
I think you got to wait, though. I understand where you're coming from, but I think you have to wait. I think you have to give it I mean, you have to give it this season to see what happens.
But like, I understand that. But here's the thing. He has more value now because he's so reasonable. So are you able to get?
But you're still going to have to pay it. But they realize that even if they trade for him now, he'll play one season and then they'll have to pay him.
Right. But if you trade him after next year.
Yeah, I'm with Dave on this one. I think the team will think it's more valuable to have him this year and then work out the contract with him as opposed to the Giants doing what they did with Odell Beckham, signing him to an extension and then trying to move him on that deal.
No, I don't disagree with you. But also what you need to take into account is that Dave Gettleman is on the hot seat. So he's trying to win as many games as possible.
Oh, it's not going to happen.
Saquon Barkley's your best offensive player.
There's a better chance that the Giants allow me to make the fourth overall selection than this actually happens.
But here's the other thing. Here's the other thing, though, too, to take into account. And who knows if this ever happens. I mean, it doesn't feel like it's going to happen. But, I mean, realistically, I mean, if you were just hell-bent on being, you know, a team, an organization that has no interest in, you know, having real strong relationships with your players. I mean, having a running back drafted in the first round, having control for 5 years with that fifth-year option, and then just going franchise, and getting the 7 best years. I mean, that's not a terrible philosophy. Bad for the player, not terrible for the team.
Yeah, it would be really bad.
But it just depends on where you are with your program, though. If you're at a point where you can actually, you know, compete for something, then it makes sense to take a running back in the first round and have him at that controllable pay scale. But if you're a team like the Giants that was rebuilding, you had a 3-13 year, didn't make sense to use the number 2 overall pick on a running back, but they did it.
No.
That will forever go down as a horrendous selection. Not him as the player, but taking a running back at 2 overall.
Yeah, it wasn't a smart pick.
No, wasn't smart.
Great player.
Do you love it?
I think it's a hot take.
I think you love it.
I think it's good. You threw me for a loop. I could have sworn yesterday I knew it. And then all of a sudden today, just completely flummoxed.
Yeah, this is what we do. All this NFL draft talk. The NFL draft is right around the corner, a week away. And 98.7 ESPN is celebrating the return of football with the Draft Challenge. By correctly predicting the results of the first 11 picks, you can win 4 tickets to the Jets home opener, plus the jersey of the Jets first round pick. To enter, text DRAFT, D-R-A-F-T, to 44202, followed by your picks listed 1 through 11. Will assign a point for every correct pick and 2 points for a correct Jets and Giants pick. If you think there will be a trade, just use the word trade for that pick. It's all from your home for the NFL Draft, 98.7 ESPN. Now, we should do this next Thursday, the day of the draft. Each of us should go through our top 11, and we see of the three of us who does better.
Yeah, that'd be interesting, Dave. I just feel like we're in for an unpredictable draft, though.
Well, you have at least 4 trades coming up.
Yeah, I'm probably going to bump that number up to 5, though.
At least five trades.
At least 5, a minimum.
Now, this won't be your hot take for next Wednesday, though.
No. I've already given the trades that are going to happen day one as a hot take. I've got to come up with something spicier for next week.
Something even spicier.
Yeah, that was some mild salsa that I gave you guys yesterday. I got to have a better take.
Okay. All right. There we go. So, Rick, I know you're ready. I won't even ask you. So let's start out in observations.
Do you need to feel better about your life?
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
And totally redeem yourself!
Let's take a look at Rick's Knobservation.
Welcome back, dum-dum.
All right, here we go, fellas. This Thursday afternoon, some good news to start off Knobservations. Bon Jovi apparently will be releasing a new song addressing the coronavirus crisis. So you got that to look forward to. It's being reported by Variety. have you guys actually looked at, I know you guys are all familiar with what's going on with the All-In Challenge. Have you been on the website and looked at some of the experiences available in the All-In Challenge?
The one I know Eli's giving his, or selling, right, I guess, for charity.
No, he's giving
his,
it.
His, what?
He's giving it.
He's giving it, but away. You have to buy it then, no?
No, you don't buy it. How it works is it's not like the highest bid. So you go in and you can get, you know, 10 chances for $10 or 25 for $25 or, you know, 100 for $50. And then
it's a raffle?
You enter to win.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so, okay, so you said that one.
The Peyton Manning one sounds like it'd be really, really cool.
Yeah, you got golf and dinner with Peyton Manning in your hometown. You got, I mean, Mark Cuban, said that you can have a one-day contract to play with the Mavs. You can go to a Texas football game with Matthew McConaughey. You That's can be in Kevin Hart's next movie. You can have a walk-on role in a Scorsese film with DiCaprio and De Niro. Justin Bieber will sing One Less Lonely Girl at Your House. Tampa Bay.
So when you buy in, when you buy your tickets, you buy it for the specific event that you want or the specific win that you want?
Yeah. Go so okay. So do yourself. Yeah, I mean, because it's worth it. I mean, first of all the money, all the proceeds go to charity, which is amazing. But yeah, I mean, you can go on and put, you know, $10 for 10 opportunities for, you know, a handful of different things, whatever you like the most.
I like it.
Here's one. This is the one that I think you would. If I'm going to do this, which I'm definitely going to do this, I'm sitting here going through some of the stuff that I would do. And here's the two I would go for you. Giants game, dinner at Rayo's, and a workout with Saquon Barkley. Your kids would go crazy for that.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned Eli.
That's all encompassing in one?
In one. And here's the best one for Dave. Coin toss at a New York Giants game and dinner with Eli Manning.
That's
you
it.
You would love that.
That would be it.
How great would that be?
Oh, you'd be insane. You would love that.
So I would call heads or tails for the Giants.
Yeah, and then go have dinner with Eli.
Trust me, Dave, I've lived that experience. It is awesome.
That sounds terrific. I would love to do that.
You couldn't screw it up, though. You have to make sure you listen. I think
I would go tails. You know what would be great?
And if you lost, you'd have to say, or if you won, you have to say, defer. I'm going to defer.
Yeah, I don't want to mess up like we've seen happen in the past.
No confusion.
I'm telling you. To be now, obviously, you couldn't do it this year. To be in the draft room, to be in the Giants draft room, to me would be the greatest thing ever.
Well, here's what you do: you want to get in the draft room. Here's what you do, Dave. This is a little bit diabolical, but you're capable of doing this. What you do is that you find out where Dave Gettleman lives, and then you pretend you're delivering him a pizza, and then you just all of a sudden when he opens the door, you come bombing in. You
want to be bombing in. Right after the Lions are off the clock?
Yes.
Pizza.
Who are we taking it for?
Yeah. Oh, that would be sensational. I'm going to check this out. So it's all in. I'll find it. Go ahead.
Go all in challenge.
I'll find it.
All in challenge. Yeah,
I'm
that's
capable.
Awesome.
I'll find it.
Here we go. Did this happen in Florida?
Well, I have one more nice one, by the way, if I can quickly sneak it in. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No,
Michael Che from Saturday Night Live. I know the story. His grandmother passed away from COVID. Did you see what he did?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
So she lived in a building. He is paying rent for 160 of the apartments in that building for 1 month. The rent.
That's awesome.
1 month.
Awesome.
How great is that?
No, man. I mean, if you want to, and I'm glad we're doing these positive stories, but just the amount of people stepping up, I mean, and doing their part and whatever they can do has been awesome.
Yeah, it's been a lot of it.
Makes you feel good.
It does.
And here's what doesn't make you feel good, or does it happen in Florida? Did this happen in Florida? A judge has urged attorneys to make sure they get out of bed and put some clothes on before they appear in hearings via video conference after one of the lawyers decided to sign on while still in bed under the covers.
On a video
that's just complete disrespect.
Under the covers?
Under the covers. We've also seen many lawyers in casual shirts, blouses, no concern for ill grooming in bedrooms with the master bed in the background, etc. One male lawyer appeared shirtless, and one female attorney was still in bed under the covers.
So she brought the computer under the covers?
Yeah. Here's one of my favorite quotes. Putting on a beach cover-up won't cover up the fact that you're poolside in a bathing suit, so please, if you don't mind, let's treat court hearings as court hearings.
It's unbelievable. Could you?
I don't want that to be my lawyer. No way.
No, not at all.
No way.
So where are you exactly? I'm under the covers.
One lawyer shirtless. What do you think? You have the camera turned off? Good thing they can't see me.
That's terrific.
Hey, dummy.
The question is that Florida?
Is that Florida? Yeah, was that a Florida judge? Or was that somewhere else?
It does sound like Florida.
Did you throw in, is that a real thing, or did you just throw in the cover, the bikini cover?
That's a real thing.
That's a real thing? I'm going to say Florida then.
Yeah, Florida. I'm going to go Florida as well.
This is why I love you guys. Santiago, Florida?
I think this is another case of, stuff expanding past Florida, so I'll say not Florida.
Yeah, you're wrong. Canty and David right. And what I love about Canty is that the level of attention to detail
right.
You guys have now is through the roof. I can't get anything by you.
Well, we've got to. We've got, because you bring a very strong did it happen in Florida game, and we're going to raise the level of our game as well.
Well, nowadays you just can't tell, Dave. Like, you have to be detail-oriented because it seems like the entire country has turned into Florida.
We're like the Joe Judge of did it happen in Florida here. No, no details left undone.
All right, here's another one. Did this happen in Florida? Police department on Tuesday told residents that they needed to remember to put on some pants before they make their short trip to the mailbox. Please remember to put on your pants before leaving the house to check your mailbox. You know who you are. This is your final warning.
Now, I imagine shorts is not included in that because
I
go
just
out to
pants. This is no pants. This is just
like you have nothing on. Not even
no
like boxers. Nothing.
No pants. No.
Oh my God.
The savagery, right, Dave? Who does that?
Who would walk out to the mailbox with no pants on?
Things are weird, Dave.
Guess they just got to be free.
That's
Dave,
ridiculous.
I mean, you're talking about. I did a story where people thought they could just go rob places because there would be no one around.
That's true.
You just get away with these robberies because there's no one around.
Thought you guys were sheltering in place too.
Yeah. You imagine walking out to the mailbox with no pants. Your wife's like, "Where are you going? Just get the mail.
Just check you have
no
the
pants
mailbox.
On. Yeah.
That's all right. No one's paying attention."
That could be Florida. But mailboxes. I'm gonna say not Florida.
Wow. Canty, Florida.
I'm with Dave on this one. People free ball everywhere.
That's a good point. I haven't worn underwear in quite some time. Santiago, Florida.
Not Florida. not Florida.
That was Maryland.
Maryland.
That was Maryland.
Things
Maryland,
are getting
yeah.
weird in the DMV.
I mean, this is hitting close to home, these stories now.
I may walk up to my mailbox naked just to get
I don't think I don't think you'll do it.
Did it happen in Florida? I'll do it. I would do anything for a good story. I will do it right now. Would you like me to, if we had time, I would leave now, run to the mailbox naked.
I think your wife would be incensed if you walked to the mailbox naked.
No, she wouldn't care. I'm
incensed.
I can do it. I'll do it during the next break.
Yeah, we'll see a small article in the Post tomorrow about Long Island man walking to his
mailbox.
It will
not be a small. How dare you? It'll be a two-page
a huge,
story.
Yeah, three-page yeah, layout.
Huge.
Yes, we
it'll
know.
Be a pullout. Yeah. They'll have to add a pullout for that.
Oh, yeah. Stop. You know you don't need a pullout.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. A female with a mustache walked the mailbox. No, that was it's actually me.
Yeah, with a mustache. A hairy lip woman.
Oh, man. All right. Before we go, just one more because Dave wants it. Jay Glazer. Talk about
oh, my God.
News. Dave, please. That was awful.
I mean, that I think, you know, Beckham could be traded or you know, they're going to say there's no fans allowed in the games for the 2020 season. I mean, that's his big tease is that a player on the Rams has contracted COVID-19. I was shocked by that.
Underwhelmed, to say the very least.
I think Jay Glazer is terrific, and I was very disappointed in that from him.
Yeah, and I thought there was a natural opportunity for him to talk about the NFL season potentially being shortened because the NFL has leaked it out that they're exploring those options as well, if it's necessary. Like, I thought it was going to be something along those lines. But to have an offensive lineman from the Rams, a guy who tested positive for it a month ago,
right?
That you're going to leak that announcement yesterday as your big news?
We got to tease it for 24 hours?
Yeah, I don't get that.
Oh, that was a terrible job by him.
Brutal.
Awful. In these trying times, important to remember we pulled together as a community. Small businesses all over going to be feeling the lasting effects of this pandemic. If you are a small business trying to get the word out that you're still serving the community, let us know. Send an email to 987ESPN@gmail.com. Let us know your story so we can pass the word along to our community. And I say this for the end, and I think this is a very smart avenue I've gone down. Tito's Mexican Street Eats, located in Garfield, New Jersey, currently available for takeout and delivery through Grubhub, Uber Eats, DoorDash, and their website at titosmexicaneats.com. Again, that's titosmexicaneats.com. They're open 7 days a week from 11:30 a.m. to 8 p.m. Give them a call, 862-238-8282. If I had done that read in the 11 o'clock hour, I don't know that I make it through the rest of the show, Rick.
No, there's no chance. I mean, you start talking about, I mean, me and in Mexican food? Ugh. Ugh. Are you kidding me right now?
That would go perfectly with my Sincoro and watching The Last Dance on Sunday night.
Yes.
A couple margaritas.
There you go.
Mm. Chips and salsa to start. Some guac. Are you a guac guy, Canty?
Yes, I'm a huge guac guy. Huge guac guy. I like a little spice in my guac, though.
Really?
Yeah, a little spice in there.
Love guac.
I'm not a huge guac guy.
No? I'm surprised by that.
It's all right. It's all right. I mean,
I think the avocado is very underrated.
Yes, I agree with that.
Yeah, but you got time out. You got to doll it up, though. I mean, you got to make sure the person can screw up the guac. It's got to be made the right way.
It's got to be made the right way.
I'm not saying I want bad guacamole. I don't want a bad steak either. Of course. I mean, this goes on the premise that it's going to be well done. But delicious guac? Oh, doesn't get much better than that.
And fellas, the girlfriend puts a little jalapeno in the guac. It is outstanding.
Got to put the jalapeno.
Little jalapeno.
Love it.
I mean, you're talking to a guy in L.A. used to try. I mean, I used to chase around a food truck that had Korean barbecue tacos. I would follow it around. Delicious.
Oh, that sounds really good.
I'm glad we made it to lunchtime today. We're going to hand it over to Bart and Han, who are going to have an excellent show. I believe Mike Breen joins that show at 2 o'clock today. And then, of course, it's the K Show at 2:55. And then it's Carlin, and then it's Mr. Optimism, Larry Hardesty, along with Gordon Damer at 10
it's
o'clock.
It's the yin and the yang.
The yin and the yang at 10 o'clock.
One builds you up, the other one tears you down.
That's right. He wins the lottery, Gordon Damer, and he's miserable at it because of the taxes he now has to pay.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg, weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.